I'm here today with J.B. Hixon of Not By Works Ministries. J.B., thanks for joining me today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you have a number of interesting books here. Spirit of the Antichrist, Volume 1 and 2, Spirit of a False Prophet, Rise of a Global Technocracy. That's what I want to get to because we know the stage is being set for Babylon the Great's arrival.
Yep.
And we know the false prophets involved. But you look at technology. You look at AI, global ID cards, all these things that are setting into motion. Is it possible that they're going to be used by Satan for his purpose in the end?
I think it absolutely is. You know, Satan's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent.
Yeah.
So he wants to play God. He wants to take over this world, make it his own. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, he's going to have to use technology to do it. So that's what technocracy means. It's using technology to control people, to govern people and control them. And so there are not a lot of books out there specifically on the false prophet.
Sir.
You see a lot about the Antichrist, but I thought, hey, this is like his second in command.
Yeah.
He's put in charge of the worship program, the buying and selling program, the economic program. And so we just did a deep dive into it, and it was stunning, the kind of stuff that I found out about transhumanism, technocracy, how they coalesce, and how the stage is clearly being set for this future time.
Well, let's jump into AI.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about AI lately, and you have AI Jesus online. They ask Jesus questions. AI is creating new scriptures for transgender so they can feel warm and comfortable with themselves. Obviously, people say it's being used for good, and I believe believers can use AI for good, but what's Satan's end goal with AI?
Yeah, so you know, I talk a lot about AI Jesus in the book. I have a whole chapter on AI. So Satan, again, he wants to convince people that humanity is bad. He hates humans because we're made in the image of God. So we're image bearers. And so we're God's highest pinnacle of creation. Satan hates that. So he's simultaneously marginalizing humanity. That's why you got guys like Yuval Noah Harari out there talking about men as redundant. We don't need so many people, that we just need them for the data, but beyond that, we don't need them. And then he also wants to replace them, to transcend humanity, to do a better job at what than what God did. Like, we can improve on this. You know, like the $6 million man, right?
Yep.
We can build him back better. He can be faster and stronger. So that's what they're working on, and they're absolutely way down the line with it. Just recently, you know, OpenAI was in the news, of course, and with the whole Sam Altman, and for 5 days, Silicon Valley was in chaos, and I have some sources inside behind the scenes that kind of indicated a little bit more of what really went on there, and according to these sources, essentially, it wasn't so much a power play as it was a lot of the techs that deal with AI every day realized that in their minds they had crossed the Rubicon, that they had reached AGI, or, you know, artificial general intelligence, or even ASI, artificial super intelligence, and they went to the board to say, hey, Sam's not telling you the whole story. This is a big deal. We've kind of let the we've let the cat out of the bag. We're not getting it back in, or maybe the genie out of the bottle is a better analogy. And so then they fired Altman because, hey, you didn't tell us how close you were. And then they quickly, and he went over to Microsoft, which OpenAI is just a proxy of Microsoft anyway. They fund it all. And then very quickly they kind of pieced it all back together, covered it up, and they're trying to paint a different picture. But all I can tell you is a lot of top-level tech guys are very concerned about what's happening behind the scenes with AI.
Yeah, they're concerned. that tells you something, because they embrace the next stage of our evolution as humans and wanting us to go. But the AI, I've always considered, this has always been my perspective, Satan's the prince of power of the air. They're spiritual beings. They can possess things, objects. They attach themselves to idols in times past. What's to keep them from possessing an AI, a computer chip, and speaking through it? You
absolutely
know?
No, but we did a whole show on that at Not By Works Ministries. There's no question that demons and evil celestial beings can inhabit inanimate objects.
Yes.
You know, the whole proverbial, you guys are in the media business, so the whole gremlins in the sound system kind of thing that every church deals with. You know, to some extent, that's real. I mean,
a
lot of times it's just somebody pushed the wrong button or plugged in the wrong cord.
Yes.
But a lot of times it's demonic.
Yes.
And so there's no question that Satan is inhabiting this technology. He's mimicking God. He's wanting to implement a full spectrum planetary control grid that we read about in Revelation 13, where nobody can buy, sell, travel, do anything without government approval. And only way he's going to be able to do that is with technology.
I agree with that. Let's take it to the next step. You discussed transhumanism.
Yes.
We have transhumanism, mRNA technology, breaking down people on a cellular level, like Hitler was trying to do, change, you know, when you're born, the color of your eyes and all that. That was from birth. Now they're trying to do it after you're alive.
Yes.
Changing who you are. Do you see any connection with that, with the mark of the beast or something in the future?
I do think there's a connection there. We won't really know till after it happens exactly how much of this technology is going to be incorporated into the mark of the beast,
yeah.
But there's no question the stage is being set. Elon Musk has come out and said that with mRNA, they can literally do anything. They can change your DNA. They can even turn you into a butterfly, he said, if they want to.
Wow.
With it. So, and that, I have a quote of him saying that in the book. So, and I've played the video. So, I mean, these guys, it's like they're like mad scientists in a laboratory. Let's see what happens when we pour this
into
here.
Dr. Moreau, too,
Yeah, it's unreal, yeah.
Well, very interesting. You mentioned a false prophet. I've always given him more focus than most people have because I believe, you know, Satan's calling the shots, but he's doing all the dirty work behind the scenes. And sometimes it kind of looks like he's jealous. He's playing second fiddle to the beast. But he's leading that one world worship, as you said, during the first 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Then at the 3.5 year point, that's cut off. It's all worship of the beast now.
Yes.
What is that? What's his role to play in this one world worship? What do you see that as being?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I have a chapter in the book called Historical Henchmen and Lackeys or something like that. And it was really funny because behind every great world tyrant, great meaning, you know, infamous.
Yes.
There's always a second in command, or what they call a 2IC.
Himmler.
you know, yeah, absolutely. And so the mob called it the Conciliares, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the false prophet's role is. He wants to get everybody to worship the Antichrist.
Yeah.
He wants to control the economy. He is serving at the pleasure of the Antichrist. Of course, we all know it's the unholy trinity, right? Satan,
yes,
Antichrist,
right.
False
and
prophet.
Dragon.
And in the same way that the Holy Spirit is drawing men to Christ and convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, the false prophet's going to be kind of the face of the beast system and driving people to worship the false Christ.
Interesting. I saw it that way. He's the face. He's kind of like the multimedia tech, if you will, the Elon Musk to the politician standing up there.
Yes, he is.
I wouldn't doubt if we saw that. I'm going to move on to his next book.
Yeah.
Or the content that you told me is in it. I'm going to be reading these. But you're talking about a Luciferian agenda.
Yeah.
And Satan has had, we know from the beginning, he has worked, I call him the master spider web. He's weaving, you know, little pieces at a time for his grand plan. He has no authority but to manipulate, to counterfeit. But this Luciferian agenda, because I've worked with people who've come out of these higher level governments, people say there's no deep state, there's no Illuminati, these black governments. These things are real. What is their goal? What are they actively doing? Who are these people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love talking about this. Again, it's been really my driving passion for 17, 18 years.
Mm.
And I tell the story in the introduction to that volume one, that if I can share a brief part of it here, of how I awakened to this. So I was raised in a Christian family, saved at the age of 6, grew up around the Word of God, understood the Word of God, went to seminary, went on and got my PhD, was working in academia. And I was your typical sort of right-wing evangelical, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the whole conservative right-wing stuff. I mean, dyed in the wool. And I was having lunch one time with a dear friend. He's still a close friend, a fellow professor. And we would meet every week, at least 2 or 3 times a week. We'd go to this Chinese buffet for lunch. And we'd have talks about all kinds of stuff, politics, theology, you name it. And this one particular day, he just decided to kind of introduce me to some stuff that he'd studied. Brilliant guy.
Mm.
And he just began to unfold to me some of the lies that most people believe about historical narratives and the way things really are. And I'll never forget the feeling I had in that moment, because I respected this guy, I valued him, he was intelligent, and he was a friend. But the stuff he was saying was just like, this guy's nuts.
He's a conspiracy freak.
Exactly. I'm like, you can't possibly be true. But we talked for 3 hours that one lunch, and I was so mesmerized, but I respected him enough that I went home and I said, I got to check this out for myself. And that was the beginning of this journey that took us all across the country, interviews. And so I wrote a book back in 2012 called The Great Last Days Deception, Exposing Satan's New World Order Agenda. And it was a smaller, just my, I felt like I needed to get something out. Like I was burdened that I had been deceived and I wanted everybody to know. But I continued to study and research. And so these this triad, these three volumes, really introduced that perspective. So what is the Luciferian conspiracy? Yes. Well, obviously we know who Lucifer is, Isaiah 14. Mm-hmm. That's their name for him. They call themselves Luciferians.
Yep.
They believe he's the hero in the garden and God is the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
They worship him. They dedicate their books to him. They pray to him. At the top level, they get their marching orders from him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that there is a conspiracy.
Yes.
A conspiracy is simply two or more people or entities working together for some evil means, usually in secret.
Yeah.
So conspiracies, it's very common. It's the CIA weaponized the term conspiracy theory back in the late 60s after the Warren Commission report on the JFK assassination. They, all these truth seekers were coming out and they like, we got to discredit them. So they said, let's call them conspiracy theory. And they've written articles about it. There's been, you know, academic journal articles about the whole thing. It's called mimetic hegemony, where you achieve hegemonic control by using memes that you label people, right? So so people hear the word conspiracy, they're trained to think, oh, tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
But I'm told something like 80 to 90% of all federal criminal charges have the word conspiracy in the title.
Yeah.
It's very common. And so the greatest conspiracy of all is Satan working with evil spirits, demons, and human accomplices, the three of them, working together to take over the world.
Yeah.
And that's biblical, and what I've come to find out is it's also quite well documented in history.
So he's already setting the stage.
Yes.
And we know people are thinking we're going to jump down the rabbit hole too deep, but you know, you've heard of the Pizzagate thing.
Oh, totally.
These ruling powers, you know, wealthy families, globalism, and all these things where they are preparing the steps, they're playing both sides, get all the currency together, digitize it, get everybody, you know, fighting against each other, remove this faction, set up and prop up this person, all for their end game goal, the arrival of the beast, the arrival
Absolutely.
Of the Antichrist.
Yep, one world system. Now, a couple of things that I want to be sure and mention. So first of all, the toughest chapter I've written among all three of them was chapter 13 in volume 2.
Yeah.
And it was all about satanic ritual abuse. I talked about Pizzagate.
Yeah.
There's interviews that you can see and some other documentaries of reporters that have documented the code language that was used in the Podesta emails has actually been entered as evidence in countless criminal cases across the country, state level cases, where it's just known that those words were code language for this satanic ritual abuse.
Yes.
So sickening stuff. So the second thing is a lot of people, especially now since the election and all these, the pandemic and all that kind of stuff, they are recognizing something's not right. There's something, the things don't add up. But what very few people are doing is connecting it spiritually to the main cosmic
Amen.
Struggle,
yes.
right? So people call it the deep state or the global elite, or, and they're right, but they need to go a step further.
Yes.
Ephesians 6, our war is not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So we absolutely see setting the stage. And then the last thing I want to mention is, and I don't know how you where you come down on this, I really believe that the more I study this, I don't think the Antichrist and false prophet are going to inaugurate the one world system.
Mm-hmm.
My view is they're not going to have time. They only have 7 years.
Yeah.
They can't establish it, right? They've got to step into a fully mature system.
Yeah.
So if the Lord tarries is coming, it's conceivable to me that we could already be in a one world system even before the rapture. You know, that's the bottom line. We don't know how much time takes place between the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant.
Yes.
But, so, I mean, the rapture could happen today, and then in the aftermath, you could see the fall of America. That's the next thing to watch for. They've written about it.
Agreed.
I talk about it a lot in chapter, in volume two. Since the early 1900s, the Luciferians in the New World have been, you know, that's the Rockefellers, the Fords, the DuPonts, the Carnegies, have been setting in motion a plan to systematically dismantle this country, because it's standing in the way of the one world system. So I think, you know, they're well on their way to bringing it down with the gender surrender movement and all these things. But that if the rapture were to happen today, then maybe in the next, you know, few months, the America falls apart. But here's the thing. it could fall apart before the rapture.
Yes, agreed.
I tell people all the time, has it ever occurred to you that if the Lord tarries his coming, we might be raptured someday as a Chinese citizen? I mean, we tend to think in terms of American exceptionalism, and but America's only been around 247 years, I should say. I mean, that's nothing compared to 6,000 years of human history.
And I don't see them showing up in Bible prophecy. I don't see them rescuing Israel. I don't see them helping their greatest ally. So something has to happen. I agree, to diminish America's place on the world stage. You mentioned the possibility of a formation of a one-world government already occurring before the beast just steps in and becomes a head.
Yeah.
I believe that's already written in Scripture. You look at Daniel, the 10 kings are already established, the 10 horns, and then the little horn rises up out of that kingdom.
Totally agree.
He becomes the ruler over all of those, and he even subdues 3 rebellious kings out of that. Yeah. We're already seeing the stage set for this sort of thing. Going more into what you were discussing, my parents worked in deliverance ministry growing up. People who came out of the occult, you know, witchcraft, you know, Luciferian agenda, people who came out of the Illuminati, all these governments that people say are not real, that had that same agenda. They can be saved. They can come to the truth, but they know what they're doing. And they're told the same thing that you are saying, that they are working in tandem, these higher powers, with demonic entities. They speak with them. They commune with them. Fallen angels manifest to them, and they have a hierarchy. Yes, Satan is the all-seeing eye at the top. You know,
he's the cherub.
The cherub. But this is scriptural, is it not? Yes. The prince and the power of the air. You have those different levels of spiritual dominions in that second heaven that dictate to the lessers what's going to go on. What can we do?
Yeah.
As believers, do we have authority to battle these things? I believe we do. What
of course
can we do to?
Yeah, of course we do.
Put
did
these
you
things down?
Did you know, or did your parents know Russ Dizdar by any chance?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, he's a powerful guy. They killed him, I believe, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard him interviewed a week before he died. But powerful guy. He wrote the Black Awakening,
and he
was a big into rescuing people from satanic ritual abuse and controlled assets, kind of the Jason Bourne type thing.
Yeah.
Really one of the world's experts. He would travel and speak to police departments around the country as an advisor on how to deal with satanic ritual abuse. Mm. But really love him. Only got to hear him speak in person one time, but really his time was too short for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely things are heating up all around us. I think the closer we get to the return of the Lord, we're going to see more manifestations of paranormal and stuff.
UFOs,
I have two chapters all about the whole UFO phenomena and all kinds of other things. So, but I think believers now more than ever need to remember the words in 1 John 4. So 1 John 4 really is a foundational passage for the whole book series, because it talks about the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world.
Yes.
And it says we should test the spirits, and many false prophets have gone out. That's verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
But verse 4, people often forget that. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Ooh.
And so, you know, absolutely, he gives us the resources, but most Christians today are ill-equipped because they're worldly, they're not walking by faith, they're walking in the flesh, and they're not prepared for what's really happening all around us.
Yeah, I never want to get into that situation where you come across these demonic entities, be gone in the name of Jesus, and you're like, oh, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?
I know.
If you're not walking right with God, you don't have Yeshua's authority to command the enemy to leave. It's submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil,
and
he
will
flee from you.
Yeah, I mean, ask the 7 sons of Sceva how that worked, you know, when you just toy and dabble with the spiritual realm. It's a serious thing. And, you know, we talked earlier about the demonic influence in technology.
Yeah.
There's a whole concept, which you're probably familiar with, called the hitchhiker effect, where, you know, these demon spirits can attach themselves to certain physical things. And so, you know, there are a lot of portals opening up right now, and we're giving them more and more. But I've often said, when things are heating up on Earth, you know, you got the war in Israel, you've got technology, AI, you got the political chaos. When things are heating up on Earth, that means they're heating up in the heavenlies. And so recognize that there's a big battle raging up there.
Guys, I just want to let you know, this stuff sounds scary. We don't have to be afraid. We have the Spirit of the living God living inside us. And he has given us all authority in heaven and earth. Yeshua became the second Adam. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All authority over earth he gave to us. And we need to be walking in that authority. And we can pull down strongholds. We can cast down these demonic spirits. We can command them to believe if we seek him, if we're walking in obedience to him. And that's why it's so important to put on your armor daily, to combat the fiery darts of a wicked one, to walk in obedience to the Lord so you have his authority, so that he's backing you up when you come across these things, because we're going to see more and more of these things as the day approaches.
Yeah. You know, I, as you were talking, I was thinking about Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 10. Mm. He was talking about his own apostolic authority.
Yes.
But he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, Amen. Casting down every argument and every high thing that exhibits itself, exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice, bringing every thought into Amen. Captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
That's what the Luciferians are trying to do with the brain-computer interface,
yes.
with the mind control. That goes back into the 50s.
On MK
the
CIA, Ultra.
MK yeah. Ultra. Yeah, the whole mind control. They've used chemicals. They've used psyops.
Yep.
And now they're trying to use technology.
Yes.
But Satan knows that we have the mind of Christ if
Amen.
We're believers. And if he can control that mind, then he's gone a long way towards winning the battle. So we need to bring every thought
yes.
into captivity to Christ.
And that's what people don't understand. You have to surrender your will over to Satan. We have been given authority. He can't just possess you on a whim.
Right.
You have to give in. You have to open, you said open up portholes. We have
yeah.
the ability to open up those spiritual portholes and gateways to allow demonic oppression in our lives, or to allow the glory of God to come
yeah.
and the presence of God to come with us. And so it's really our choice.
Yeah. When the enemy wants to draw believers away,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't show up on Sunday morning at spirit-filled,
right.
on-fire
nope.
churches that are preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God, and start recruiting.
Yes.
He goes door-to-door to these backslidden Christians who haven't been in church forever, that
yes.
are not walking with the Lord, and they're susceptible. So
yes.
it's more important than ever that you know, we stay in the word of God, stay rooted
Amen.
And grounded in the word of God, and you know, and be prepared. Yeah.
People say, you know, I'm a Christian, I can't be possessed. No, you can't, but you can be
yeah.
oppressed. You allow
yeah.
your mind to be oppressed. You can get into that depression. You can allow those spirits to lie to you.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, if you could pray
yeah.
for believers and non-believers
yeah,
alike
believe,
to be
yeah,
set free.
I'd love to close this in prayer.
Yeah.
And I always want to, you know, give the gospel, because at Not By Works
Amen.
We're passionate about the clarity, accuracy, and urgency of the gospel. We've talked
yes.
a lot about the urgency of the hour. But very simply, if you're listening to this and you're not a believer,
yes.
today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
There's only
yes.
one hope, right? There's only one means of, you know, removing the penalty of sin. We're all sinners. We need a Savior.
Yes.
Jesus Christ took your sin when he died on the cross, defeated death, hell, and the grave when he rose from the dead, and he offers freely the gift of eternal life if you'll trust him for it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it.
Yes.
We can't be good enough. We can't stand before a holy God and say, look at all I did. We've got to stand on the blood of Christ who paid the penalty for us. If you're a believer, if you've already trusted Christ, you know what? You're saved by faith, but then you live by faith. 2 Corinthians
That's
5,
right.
7, you walk by faith.
No,
so keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of your faith and trust mm-hmm. the Lord. So let's pray.
Yes.
Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity just to think about life through the lens of Scripture, and to see, even though there's so much chaos in the world, so many things seem to be falling apart, we know that it's, as your word says, it's just falling into place. It's just
mm-hmm.
an exciting time to see the stage being set for the glorious, triumphant return of our Savior, first for the church in the air, and then
Amen.
Ultimately to the earth to establish the kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray today that those who are listening to this video or watching this video, that you just strengthen their hearts, help them to stay rooted in your word. And, of course, as we said, if there's someone listening that doesn't know you, we pray that they'd be convicted of their sin and their need for a Savior, and that they would come to faith in Christ. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Amen.
And thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together. Mm-hmm. There are those, Lord, if they are bound in these occultic mm-hmm. bondages, these Luciferian things, they may have dabbled with Ouija boards or tarot cards mm-hmm. or all these things. They have no idea of the spirits that attach themselves to those objects, and they have opened themselves over to this demonic attack. Lord, bring them to the knowledge of truth mm-hmm. and to other believers that can agree with them, to command those things to leave now. They can command them to leave now. They can cry out to the Lord and resist the devil and submit their hearts over to you, and you can rid those attachments in their soul that they have surrendered over to God. So thank you, Lord, that you will set those captives free, because you already paid the price, and your blood is enough to drive out every demonic stronghold that they may have built up in their lives if they surrender and if they submit. So thank you, Lord, for moving upon all their hearts. It's in our cartoons. It's in our movies. People don't understand what they've exposed themselves to, open to Satan's plans. But reveal, tear away that deception, tear away the blinders in the darkness, so that they can receive deliverance and freedom in their lives now, in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
JB, thank you so much for joining
me.
It was amazing.
Man, we have a lot in common. I'd love to dialogue some more about some of this stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Not by Works Ministries?
Yep, notbyworks.org would be the best website. And we have a special site for the new book, spiritofthefalseprophet.org.
Excellent. Okay.